Well, splendid, yes. And aren't we all very rosy of cheek? Now, pull your trousers up and sit down and let me see your faces. Yes, the time we have dreaded for so long is finally upon us. After 4 long weeks, weeks with a decent heft, girth, and palpable tension, 4 pert, tight, heavily glazed weeks, we are here. The end of the road. And for these monsters, Dracula, the Mummy, Wolfman, Dr. Frankenstein and his creation, Alan, it has been a turbulent rollercoaster of emotion, learning and violent throat-ripping destruction. But I feel, and I say this lovingly and with my plums in my throat, that we've all grown as ghouls over these strenuous, uplifting, dare I say it, broadly mauve weeks. Wolfman, you first. How do you think you've changed in the past weeks? What lessons will you take out into the world with you?
Well, first, Gregory Clunchmeister, if I may use your full name in mixed company, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my pouch for having us all here. Yes, even you, Alan. It really has been, well, just so very, very, hasn't it? And what I will take with me is I'm not just the wolf for 3 days a month when there's a full moon or when my lady demands it of me in the bedroom, but rather I carry the wolf with me at all times, and I shan't be tamed by society's standards and low expectations of me. Instead, I shall stand, bare as the day I was hatched, and proclaim for all to hear, I am wolf, hear me howl!
Well, apart from the fact that I would worry about you catching your death of cold standing around in society naked, wolves don't have pouches and most definitely do not hatch from eggs, I think that's a brave, warming, heart-inspiring, thigh-expandingly good statement that deserves an utterly pointless and recorded round of applause. So, Dr. Frankenstein, you've suffered many horrendous setbacks, created a multitude of bad ideas and mass-murdering monsters, not to mention that perilous time when you accidentally stitched your puce Adidas trainer to your chin. Do you think you're ready to quit your ridiculous schemes and settle down as a local GP? Or maybe move to Beverly Hills and start nailing tits to mad rich people?
Well, I have given it a lot of thought, and the answer is... no. Sorry. You want me... Victor von Frankenstein to sit around in Cleethorpes curing the parson's athlete's foot or swanning about in California driving a Porsche and speaking to people called Ted and Fenelipope? I won't do it, you hear?
Now, come on, Doctor, calm down. Remember what we talked about?
I have an all-new idea. What if I took 13 stoats, some bits of a gibbon, stitched them together with the legs of a 5-toed
Genoa? No, Doctor. Now, don't make us give you the sleepy time injection. Remember what we all discussed? You are only allowed to rip the limbs off, maim, or stitch together your teddy bear collection and nothing else.
You want me to desecrate Elspeth and Lanella for some sort of sick and twisted kids game? I won't do it!
But, Doctor, you pulled the knees off the local burgomaster and sellotaped Basil, the local inn owner's wrist, to the abdomen of a known rapist and collector of badly painted model owls.
They were nothing. Mere pawns in the plans of the idiot fictional deity that they worship. My teddy bears are my only true friends, and I will never let any one of you bastards so much as look at them.
What a shame, dear listener. We thought the doctor was ready, but there is still so far to go.
I feel like I've let everybody down.
You should feel that way, because you have. But there's always another chance next year. Take him and Alan away, Clove.
Yes, master.
Now, Clove, what have I said about the whole yes, master business? I'm not your master, I'm your employer.
Right, master.
You get dental insurance and everything.
Thanks, master.
Oh, never mind. Get them off the stage.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'll try better next year.
So, Dracula.
At last you get to me. After all, I am the one that the public really wants to see.
So, what have you learned? How have you grown?
I've, learned not to bite virgins.
Well, not to bite anyone, right?
But especially virgins, yeah? I should be respectful and wait till they consent as adults.
Right, but not in biting and blood draining. That's never okay, right? Right, Drac?
What, I can't bite anyone?
Well, that's right, yes.
But what about bad people, celebrity chefs, or those idiot hairstyles who read the news?
None of them.
What if... Wait. What about this? What if, like Batman, I use my powers only for good and become a crime-fighting vigilante?
Well, that sounds a bit better.
And when I catch the criminal, I bite them and drain all their blood.
No blood draining at all. No making more vampires, no turning into woodland creatures, and definitely no biting.
Can I at least appear in a Colgate commercial to make a little cash on the side?
Sure, that's perfectly fine.
And in the commercial, I rip all the children's heads off and drink from their skulls.
Oh, if you must, I give up.
And then I have my own podcast, and on the podcast I invite guests on, and I suckle from their sweetmeats and nibble on their juicy guts.
Whatever.
And then I get asked to be a guest on the After Movie Diner, and I get to groove a little to that funky funk theme music.
You're listening to the After Movie Diner with your host, John Cross.
That's right, I am John Cross, and inside, if I'm looking at you a bit funny, it's a safe bet that I just plain hate your face. Welcome, ladies, germs, parasites, amoebas with a slight grudge, molecules who are a bit testy, and atoms who won't even give you the time of day. Quantity surveyors, quantity portrayers, sanctity betrayers, secret bedroom nayers, tall spindly wooden soothsayers, members of hair metal bands who have skulls tattooed about their nethers, a man standing in a raincoat waiting for his afternoon mince pie, and a bearded lady named Nigel who once punched an antelope in the neck and ran away laughing with barely her dignity or a large Russian hat intact. Welcome one, and welcome all. This episode is the fourth and sadly final of our podcast episodes dedicated to the films of Hammer Studios, the British film company of the 50s, 60s and 70s, best known for their horror series. And it's rather damn shiny. We've also had new articles on aftermoviediner.com from the bloke down the pub, our resident Hammer horror reviewer. So check them, as the Welsh would say, after being discovered gingerly fingering a cream bun in the middle of a party full of naughty politicians and a little person dressed like Winnie the Pooh. Out. Before we get to discussing this week's film, a quick reminder that you can support the After Movie Diner in many ways, but one of them is going over to patreon.com, patreon.com/AfterMovieDiner and becoming a patron of the show, just like these other wonderful patrons, Charles H. Nelson, Chris Leatherman, Chris Salt, Cole Real, David Brighton, Hamble Patton, Jim Wallace, Judith Taylor, Mark Burns, Micah Johnson, Michael Fitzgerald, and Peter Bloody Osmond. Yes, indeed. Those people are fantastic, and a huge, huge After Movie Diner thank you winging its way to all of you. You're all so damn special to me, I could kiss you, square on the damn lips and everything. You can also make a one-time donation by clicking the Buy Us a Coffee button on AfterMovieDiner.com. You can also click the Amazon.com link on our website before you do your shopping and bookmark that as your Amazon link on your browser so that every time you make a purchase, and at no extra cost to yourself, Amazon slips us a few roughly shammed shillings. Also, if you like music, you can go to miskplumbingfixtures.bandcamp.com, that's M-I-S-C plumbingfixtures.bandcamp.com, and get yourself an album or 17. Every single cent goes to keeping the website and this podcast afloat on this uncertain sea, on a turbulent internet, part of a fractious world that may or may not all be down to the proliferation of people who like to abbreviate the phrase standard operating procedure to SOP and then say it loudly in meetings. A procedure is a standard operation. That's what it means. You don't need to say all three words, you pretentious business teat sucker. Just say procedure and get on with it. Don't tart it all up to make yourself sound important. You sound like a cretin. And if you have no money, simply rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Now, without further release of obscenities and old grumpy man ramblings, to a diner somewhere in the heart of New York City. Well, hello, Jim Bob.
Hello.
And welcome to the Cozy Soup and Burger.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. The Cozy Soup and Diner.
I don't know what I'm really saying. So, in the email that was read in episode one, this is episode four of Hammer Month, but in the email that was read in episode one,
wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I believe that I am criticized for always ordering the same thing. And
somebody criticized you.
You are praised for ordering weird and wonderful batch things. So,
so I was going to order the same chili I always order over here now, but now I have to get something out.
Instead of ordering the ham, egg and chips, I've got to figure something else out.
You do have to figure something out. Well, I'm quite tempted by the Reuben is their specialty, apparently.
A Reuben? The Reuben?
Corned beef sandwich.
Jeff Reuben from down the docks.
Jeff.
Jeffrey Reubes. That's who it's named after.
Jeff Reubes.
The Reuben sandwich. Not all Reuben sandwiches, just the Reuben sandwich in this diner.
Yeah, just this one.
Is named after
all the other
Reubens
are made after a different Reuben.
Different Reuben. This
each
is Jeffy Reuben.
Each one a different
Reuben. Yeah, I believe the chili omelette was brought up in the email.
Greenwich Village grilled cheese with tomato, bacon, and fried onions and roll. Grilled Swiss cheese and roast beef on a roll with tomato and fried onions.
The menu here advertises that they have 40 ways to serve an omelette.
40 ways to serve an omelette.
40 ways.
Just put on the eggs, Jeff. Just fry up a hen, Ben.
You're doing 50 ways to leave your lover.
Anyway, 40 ways 40 to make an omelette. But I ran out just on number two. I was used to fry up a hen, but which is grilled chicken. That's not an omelette. You'd be very disappointed.
What was
unless
it?
By frying up the chicken, like an egg pops out.
Fry up some ham, Stan.
Yeah, that would work. Things to go
mix
with
in
the omelette.
Some cheese, knees. And make
Steve.
Yourself and make yourself
eggs.
No, make yourself free. No, that doesn't.
No, free range. Make yourself free range.
There's right. Only 40 ways to make an omelette.
40 ways to make an omelette. I might get grilled cheese, grilled Swiss cheese and roast beef on a roll with tomato fries, or grilled cheese, tomato, bacon and fried onions on a roll. I'm going to get a Greenwich Village. I just want to order a Greenwich. I just want to say, can I have a Greenwich Village, please?
See, look, again, you're going to outdo me.
You're going to get the same thing again,
no,
aren't
I know. I'm going to have a bacon and Swiss cheese omelette.
Is that what you want? You said you hate omelettes.
No, but I'm going to have an omelette.
Does that mean we're going to spend the whole podcast with you complaining about the omelette?
No.
There is suddenly a window into my future and it involves you moaning about omelettes.
I'm going to have the turkey avocado. Oh, avocado.
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 It's like a card. Sure, avocado.
Just have an just avocado. Mo. Just avocado. Mo.
Milo.
I know, Mo's fine.
And set yourself free.
Range.
Eggs. It's a very eggy song. Do I want turkey, Swiss, and avocado?
Avocado.
Or do I want bacon and Swiss?
But you definitely want an omelette.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Why don't you get yourself? All right, you know what? It's fine. You get what you like, mate.
Why are you now veering me away from the omelette?
Because you always complain about omelettes. You think you hate omelettes.
When did I have? No, I don't.
You called me weird for ordering omelettes.
No,
who orders omelettes?
I called you weird for
ordering...
As if
that's a question anyway. We're in a diner. Who orders omelettes? I don't know. People at a diner order omelettes?
I thought you were weird for ordering like a chili omelette or the gross omelettes you tend to order.
That's not true.
It's
I not just tried different
it's
omelettes.
It's not that you're gross for ordering omelettes. It's that you're gross,
no,
for, gross
for other reasons.
The type
There's
of omelettes
related
you
reasons.
No, I don't hate omelettes. I like omelettes.
You know, I'm going to...
On the upper
I have
side,
a bad memory, but I'm sure
turkey,
you've been
Swiss.
Digging at me
no,
for getting omelettes.
I've been digging at you just because I like to dig at you. And
well,
often
enough.
The word omelette comes up because it's a fun word to say and to dig at you for.
All right, fair enough.
But I feel like a gauntlet was thrown down, that people are always like, you always have ham, egg and chips.
You do. Well, that's because you spend... No, also...
So now I'm going
to
go
also,
for a ham, egg and chips derivation.
Well, yeah,
the
exactly.
Eggs are just going to be folded.
I am, yes. Can I get a Greenwich Village?
Okay, with a fries or just plain?
Just plain, thanks, mate.
Okay.
And a cup of English breakfast tea with milk. Thank you.
I would like your bacon and Swiss cheese omelette.
Bacon and Swiss?
Yeah, can I get that with the steak fried potatoes as opposed to the home fries, please?
White toast?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So there we go, that's something different. That should appease
the... Albeit the same.
That should... Well, albeit the same foodstuffs, technically.
In a different arrangement.
In a different
branching out here, mate. Really.
Well, no, hang away. Ham, egg and chips does not have cheese on it. This has cheese on it.
Yeah, but you should get cheesy fries with it.
No, I don't.
Which covers the whole potatoes, which you're also ordering.
No, when we go to Kellogg's, I get the disco fries,
you know,
which
it's
has
fine.
Cheese and gravy.
Nobody tunes in. I mean, I don't know why people should be, obviously, right?
Oh, but for the 40 ways to serve your own.
40 ways, nobody tuned in to go, will this be the week that he orders something different?
Yeah.
But people are right to say that you are boring and afraid. Because I think, you know, what?
Well, no, I like two or three things at a diner. I like breakfast, I like burgers, and when we go to Kellogg's, I like my shrimp and my disco fries. They're just what I like at a diner.
The thing is, I hardly ever go out and eat. So every time we do go out,
you like to try something.
I'd like to try something.
See, back when we first started it, you used to look up on the menu, like if there was a diner special. So if there was like the Kellogg's.
Well, I nearly got the Reuben because it said it was our specialty. But
the
Reuben. But it's $16.50 for a sandwich.
The Jeffrey Rube.
$16.50. It's not like I won't pay.
But what you have to understand is Jeffrey Rubes, who originated the Reuben here.
Thank you very much.
At this diner. Not all Rubens, I preface to say, but just the Rubens here at this diner.
That would be crazy.
That'd be crazy if Jeffrey Rubes was so famous to have invented all Rubens.
Yeah.
What's interesting is the Jeffrey Rubes Ruben is almost identical to all other Rubens. It's just he lays claim to this one.
He does. He doesn't care about any of the others. No. Just vociferously. He used to stand outside here. When we first came here,
years ago.
He used to stand outside here waving a sign saying, I made the Reuben sandwich in here.
Yeah, the Jeffrey
And they Ruben. Won't even give me a free sandwich.
But fallen on hard times.
Yeah.
He has taken to scrounging literally the crusts left of other people's Rubens if they are so inclined to give them to him. Which, I have to say, most of the time they're not.
They're not.
They're not.
They're not.
They would rather see those crusts in the bin than give any credit or crust
literally
to Jeffrey Rubens.
Poor old literal Jeff.
A little literal Jeffrey Rubens.
Jeff literal no crust. Oh yeah, lovely. Thank you very much.
Cool.
Oh, blimey, look at that. Oh,
that's amazing.
That looks incredible. Oh, there's my omelette. Thank you
very much.
That looks like a bloody tasty omelette as well. Yeah. Look at those steak fries. What is in that?
So, it's called the Greenwich Village.
Right.
And it is...
Which is hilarious because we're not in Greenwich.
We're not in Greenwich. It's not that hilarious. Maybe they eat in Greenwich Village. Maybe that's where it was born. You know, who can say? Anyway, it's bacon, grilled cheese, tomatoes... and fried onions in a roll, and it's unbelievable. It's so good, I'm having to eat it with a knife and fork because it is
everything's falling apart.
Yeah, which is the best kind of sandwich.
It is. So we braved the Quad, yet again, the Quad Cinema that has been running their Hammer Horror series, to see the fourth and last Hammer Horror in this August Hammer Horror series that we're running on the diner.
Yep.
And unfortunately, due to the death or dwindling last moments
the death
of
rattle.
Movie Pass, we did have to pay.
Good.
So, in order to finish Hammer Month, we laid down cold hard cash, people, to bring you four excellent Hammer Horror
episodes.
Also,
a nice spread too. We've got an early little known Hammer.
Yeah.
And we've got an early Frankenstein.
Yep.
Early to mid Frankenstein.
Yep.
A late Dracula.
Yep. And then this one, which is?
And then a late, and a final late little known Hammer, which is Vampire Circus from 1971.
Right.
Which I think is after Scars. I'm pretty sure Scars is 1970.
Right.
So yeah, that's what we went and saw.
And what's funny about that, it being after Scars, is that in this one they could afford bats.
Well, I feel like the director had a better idea of how to...
Well, I feel like this one actually was directed by someone.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So, why don't you give a brief outline of the plot, or do you want me to go ahead because you're shoving your face full of grilled cheese?
No, I should probably, rest.
Yeah, you are going to have a coronary after eating that, by the way.
So, plot of Vampire Circus is, much like the beginning of Scars, which starts with them, burning down a castle and killing a vampire, now that I think about it.
Well, one could ultimately say, a Vampire Circus, use your imagination. What does that conjure up? You're right. On we go.
Pretty much. Okay, so. Big bad vampire. He's been stealing children and eating them from the village. In quite a kind of a dark, fairy tale-y way.
Yeah.
Gets killed by the people from the village.
Yeah.
And as he dies, the vampire casts a curse upon them.
Yeah.
So they will die and the children will die.
Having stolen the wife of one of the guys.
Right. Then I'm just giving a brief, brief outline.
No, I know, but she comes back.
I know. You never let me get through the bleeding plot.
Because you're so bad at it.
I'm not bad at it. I just leave stuff out that I deem to be less relevant. You go, right. What about that? What about the fact that the hat he wore was blue? Because later on, that's quite important. Yeah, but it's not, yes, the woman that he is with comes back later.
Right.
As part of the vampire circus.
Right.
That is true. But before we get there,
right.
He's dead. He curses the village.
Right.
15 years later,
they burn
the village
down
is having a terrible case of the plague.
Uh-huh.
No one will come in, except, what's this? It's a vampire circus. I mean, they don't call themselves a vampire circus, they call themselves a circus of knights,
yeah.
I think. And it's got some animals and a dwarf and a strong man. And it's pretty low rent, but the tricks they pull are quite neat, mostly because the people pulling the tricks are, in fact, creatures of the night.
Shape-shifting vampires,
exactly. Which will, if if that's what you wanted to do as a shape-shifting vampire, you could put on a pretty nifty circus. Which is what they do.
I have to say, as vampires go, these ones, pretty enterprising.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Because the rent on an old dusty castle has got to be quite high.
Yeah.
And Dracula...
Very much self-starting vampires, for sure.
Dracula, on the other hand, thousands of years alive.
Yeah.
What's he how's he paying for that?
Yeah.
How's he paying for that?
He's not.
These, on the other hand, they're like, look, we don't have the lineage. We don't have the Dracula lineage.
We don't. I can't remember his name.
Mittenhouse
or something?
Count Mittelhouse.
Count Mittelschwitz. So Count Mittelschwitz.
It's not Mittelschwitz.
It might as well be. It's the least scary name.
It's not like the Jewish family. Buy me, will you catch me the blood already?
Right. Anyway.
Yeah, finish your mouthful of grease and meat.
As the movie goes on, the members of the vampire circus kidnap and kill the children of the village.
Yeah.
And use their blood to bring the camp back to life.
The children, specifically, of the men who killed the
count. That's true. That's very important, because that's part of the curse.
Right.
And that's basically the plot of the movie.
And they kill them in, a variety of ways. Sort of.
Well, different people kill them, but they all get killed from being bitten on the neck.
No, because the one family gets mauled to death by the panther.
No, but they're nothing to do with the...
Yeah, he is. The tall, blonde one is one of the guys who killed the guy in the first place.
Oh, right, but he hasn't got any kids.
No, because his kid was killed in the beginning.
Right. So that's why they were more
but he was the little girl that...
Yeah.
Well, because they say to kill the kids, but they also kill the Burgermeister, the dude whose daughter was killed at the beginning.
Yeah.
Do they kill the other guy, the third guy? I know there's a school teacher, which they don't kill.
They do
kill the school teacher at the end.
Yes, they do. Everybody dies at the end, apart from
The two lovebirds.
The bird and the worst actor in the entire universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The son of the doctor. No, in fact, the doctor, the son, and the son's girlfriend, fiancé?
Just friend who is a girl.
Right.
They don't ever, knock boots.
Well, they hold hands, though. Well, they wouldn't knock boots. They're both about 12.
They're not that young.
Well, they're not. I don't know. This one felt very, the Dora girl.
Yeah.
Who's the daughter of the Burgermaster.
Yes.
And goes off with the guy who's half panther. She goes off with the circus guy who's also a panther.
The one
the guy who looks like Dennis
Hopper.
Oh, the
daughter of the Bergamot. No, that's not Dora. That was...
Yeah, that's Dora. The daughter of the Bergamot.
No, Dora's the one that lives.
Oh. Who's the one who goes up?
Rosa.
Rosa.
Rosa. Well, it's very confusing.
It is. Dora,
it's
like, Rosa.
Listen, we've got two girls in this movie. They both got brown shoulder-length hair.
Right.
We'll call one of them Dora, another one Rosa. That one's Dora, that one's Rosa. No, wait. No, that one's Rosa, and that one's... Come on, lads.
Although better than...
Different coloured hair.
Better than Scars of Dracula. Better than Scars of Dracula, where the guy just wrote down, oh, Julie.
Oh, yeah, Tanya.
You know what I mean? Tanya.
Hello. I'm Tanya.
I'm being bitten.
So the Dennis Hopper, Rick Mayall looking... Oh, man, you're making that right by the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right. Finish your thing and then we'll go.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, it's very difficult because they've got...
Just get rid of the paper.
I know, I'm trying, but where do I get rid of the paper? That's the question. Where do I get rid of the paper? Eat the paper is your... That's your solution.
That's my solution. So, yeah, the guy who's... Part Panther, the shapeshifter.
Shapeshifting dude.
Who looks like Dennis Hopper / Rick Mayall.
He does look like a cross between Dennis Hopper and Rick Mayall.
He does.
And Michael Sheen. There's definitely a Michael Sheen-ness to him.
Well, I have to say...
No, the Count. The Count's got a bit of a Michael Sheen to him.
I have to say, and we'll get onto this, but like, this is one of the few Hammer films that do the sort of flouncy gypsy vampires as opposed to the more regal Dracula vampires.
Yeah. They are quite flouncy.
Because there's different types of vampires, and these are more your Romani...
Flappy shirts.
Flappy shirt types. Yeah. Also, there's no...
There's a lot of billowing. There's a lot of billowing laundry.
Oh my goodness, it's incredibly billowing. Billow-esque. Well, of course, the shirts were designed by Jeff Billow, who is famous for his... Well, that's where the word comes from. But just those shirts. Not all flouncy shirts.
Not all shirts that billow.
Just
billowing shirts.
Just billowing shirts.
Can I ask you a very simple question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you like it?
I really like... the idea behind it.
Yes.
And I like some of the execution of it.
Yes.
But some of the execution is mind-numbingly slow.
Yes.
And I don't say this often about a movie.
Yeah.
I do not say this often about a movie. It could do with a retelling. I could see a modern version of this, and I don't mean a... CGI heavy Wolfman type redo. Right. I mean a properly made action horror with proper creepy carny circus folk, and the story is good enough that you could do that, and you could combine it with that slasher sensibility of let's make each death of each child or each person more and more like elaborate and more like weird and wonderful, because you're circus folk, right? So in this one they do kind of a neat thing with the Hall of Mirrors.
Yeah.
So they have this the wobbly mirrors that everyone's used to.
Right.
Those mirrors, mate, we've seen them before.
Right, right.
The last mirror, however, is sort of like a portal, because they can also kind of recorporealize. They can kind of jump space and time a little bit. Mm. Like the first time we meet Count Mittelschmerz, he shows up in a corner with his dreidel and a bagel out of nowhere. And he's like, I'm just having a bagel already.
Mel Brooks cameo.
Yeah, Mel Brooks cameo. They can kind of shift, time shift. So anyway, the one of the mirrors is kind of like a portal to this space underneath the castle where the Count is buried and where they lure people. So that's kind of like, there's one where they lure someone through the mirror. There's another one where the guy has a heart attack. There's another one where the guy gets almost burned to death.
Right.
And there's a nice, that's the other guy. He doesn't die, I don't think, but he gets burned, really badly burned.
Oh, father. Yeah.
So that was an attempt where I'm okay, you've used something of the carny circus thing to kind of do some neat kill ideas. But I feel like you could really expand upon that. Like, now in this one, you know, you have the panther mauling people in the thing. That was at least nicely done with, like, blood splattering on the ferns and, you know, you see a bit of the grizzly remains afterwards. That was nice. The guy holding the flaming torch going into the Hall of Mirrors, burning himself, like, through the magic of the mirror kind of thing was neat. But I could see a redo where there was more of that, you know what I mean? Where there was more sort of like elaborate deaths brought about by the magic of the circus.
I think that's fair. I mean, what I would say is, I felt like the...
Or maybe the monkey goes on a kill spree.
Why not?
You know what I mean?
What I felt was, when I was watching it, was I think, for me, the problem is that it lacks a strong centre.
Yeah,
it's like the bad guys are like, it's sort of her and it's sort of the panther, but equally, like, she seems to be able to order the panther around sometimes, but also sometimes not, and they're all doing it for the count. It's kind of lying in, I mean, like, the real bad guy's like lying in a coffin for nearly the whole movie,
right?
And then the good guys are like, well, it's sort of the worst actor in the world, but he's sort of too young to, like, have any agency, really.
Right.
And then there's, like, the older men. But then, you know, they're all, like, three or four different guys. And they're all sort of look a bit the same.
Right.
And none of them are really, like, have a lot of charisma to stand out, except possibly the Burgermeister, but only because he's, like, a bit of a doddery old fool.
Right.
His charisma is much more in the...
His charisma is contained within his moustache and his huge curly wig.
Right. So there's, like... Even though, see, I liked the fact that what they were doing was they were mixing, like, three different things. They were mixing hammer vampire movies, old-fashioned but European fairy tales. Like, they're doing a circus rolling into town and then, like, you know, stealing children away in the night.
Right, yeah.
And then also giving a whole, like, weird, like, Italian-Spanish horror film of the 70s, like, weird vibe.
Yes.
And for that, they needed to, like, up the gore. There was a weirdly low amount of... Even though they... Like, it was a, you know, it was a PG in America.
Yeah.
And there's, like, bits where it's, like, nearly gory. Like, you see, like, you can see the makeup briefly.
Yeah.
When the family's been mauled by a panther. And it looks like, well, that looks cool. But then it's just, like, it's there for, like, a split second, then it's gone. Right. Look, you clearly spent ages doing that. Have a bit of an old linger. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have a good old look. And so it was a bit, like, bloodless as well.
Well, maybe there was the
idea...
Which
is not great for a...
Well, what's weird is you can almost see the producers go, well, it's about a circus, so let's make it for the whole family. But then
then
someone in that meeting should have stood up and gone, yeah, it's about a circus killing children.
And also,
maybe not make that for the whole family.
Also, not like, in a... Here's the thing, and this is why I think Ultraman is a quite weird film.
It's a super weird film.
The reason it's so weird is, in your Hammer Vampire films, the act of biting someone is quite a sexual act, right?
Right.
The vampire biting the woman is quite, you know... So if you're going to kill kids in a, you know, a circus film, whatever, you stab her with a knife or drop something heavy or whatever.
Right.
Having, like, grown men, like,
well, that's
bite
what
the necks of children is... It's, like, super weird to watch and experience.
So that's what I was saying about the whole Rosa thing.
Right.
Was that, you know, you're used to the Hammer young ingenue who gets, like, embroiled in some sort of sex death thing with the vampire.
Right.
But I felt this actress looked way too young for comfort. And there is a scene where she, like... grabs Panther Man's hands and shoves them on her chest. And I'm like, is she even a day over 17? Like, it was really...
Yeah.
And I'm not sure you want to be watching the movie being skeeved out by it in quite that way. I mean, I understand it's a horror film, but you don't really want to be like, ugh.
Yeah, you're like horrified, but in a fun way. Especially when, like, the blood's, like, bright red, it's obviously paint. And,
right.
And any gore that's happening is, you know, fun, but obviously makeup.
Right.
But there are, like, really effective, like, fairy tale moments. Like, they find the two boys in the wood.
Yeah.
You know, looking like a
Hansel and Gretel type thing. Yeah.
And they turn them over and they've got, like, big vampire. Like, all that stuff is effective. It's just the act of having vampires bite the children. It's just fucking
And weirdly,
weird.
The best person in it is the dwarf, the clown dwarf.
Yeah, he is really good.
He's really, really good.
Yeah.
So, my issue with it was twofold, I think. Pacing and casting.
Yeah. No, they didn't have any Hammer regulars, really.
Right, and it's weird how much you miss them. Because even in a stinker like Scars of Dracula, even like Waterman showing up or Christopher Lee showing up.
It lacks the central.
Like, imagine if, I don't know, they'd roped Ollie Reed in to be, like, the Carnival Barker or something. You know, just to give him, like, two or three scenes of him being like, roll up, little children, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a real moment. Like, it lacks... You realise just how much so many of the films we love by Hammer hang on the charisma of a Lee or a Cushing or an Oliver Reed or even, like, the lesser guy. Who's the guy you really like who's in a bunch of them?
Oh, Ripper, Michael Ripper.
Michael Ripper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you need someone like that.
He would have been good, but he would have been good as mine. I mean, it's odd. Like, the 70s...
Well, he should have been the Burgomaster instead of that dog.
No, he could have been anything. He could have been... Like, the Doctor was okay.
Actually. Yeah. The Doctor was all right. But he disappears for most of the movie.
He does.
He's gone. The rest of them are like... The father of the two... There's, like, two blokes who... One of them's the father of the girl who lives.
Right.
And he, like, he's looks the same. Teacher. The school teacher. And he sort of looks the same as a couple of the others, I think. He was like, so bland.
Right.
I can't even remember.
Well, he was the one who says that complete non sequitur about death when they're walking through the thing and then goes, "Well, I guess we're off then." What was it? He said something like... Because the doctor's son, the blonde one, Mr. McBland, he's all, like, for the circus. He's like, the circus has taken our mind off the plague and the bat rabies that it turns out to be. It turns out to be bat rabies. Got a bit of a case of bat rabies, mate. Oh, wow, that seems obvious then. Mix some of this up in a porridge, it'll be right as rain.
Yeah, just drink this potion.
Yeah. And then the doctor, when he has to run away and go, like, fight the vampires at the end, gives it to, like, just two random soldiers who have come with him.
Yeah,
from
so we're off to fight a vampire. You soldiers, you stay here and distribute the medicine. Me, a doctor, I'll go and fight the vampire.
No. At a certain
surely
point,
the other way around.
Swap it about. Yeah. They signed up for death or glory. You signed up to heal the sick.
Yeah. How much medicine should I give them? I don't know. He went off to fight somebody. But aren't we supposed to be... Why are we here?
Yeah. But anyway...
It's like a lot
the guy,
of...
The blonde kid says something about, like, oh, isn't the circus wonderful? And the dancers bring joy and stuff. And the teacher, out of nowhere, goes, they only bring death, or something like that. Like, he says something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they all, like, look at each other, because there's no line to, like, get them out of the scene. And then he just goes by and wanders up, like, with his daughter. I'm like, that's super weird and morbid.
I mean, I like the idea of the circus happening every night. There's things that don't happen that could, like, the audience could be getting smaller and smaller,
right?
You know, more and more people dying. It's just, it doesn't, it's got a lot of, like, mood to it, but not a lot of atmosphere. That's what it missed. It missed atmosphere. There wasn't, like, there should have been, like, dread, and, like, the circus is, like, partly is this making us feel better, or is this the problem, you know, because we're all dying here in, like, the middle of
nowhere. Well, what I did like was I really liked the carny music that David Prowse... David Prowse, who's
aka Darth Vader, and the Monster from Hell. He played the Monster from Hell.
Yeah, he was a bodybuilder, and he played the strong man in this. He's got, like, an organ grinder, and he's making, like, swirly McSwirly circus music, which I super dug.
Yeah,
and it really added to it. There's also some really nice photography in it, like super weird, creepy photography.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole sequence where the bats are turning into tumblers, turning into the twins. And you see him, like, shot up into the sky, flapping around. That was really well
done. Even though the panther running towards the audience and jumping off the stool and then landing as the guy...
That was really well done. And the plague village, not that we get to see enough of it, but the plague village with, like, its, you know, Fuller's Earth burning in the background and, you know, overturned wagons and, like, rogue chickens, like, running around. That was done, like, really nicely. And I'm like... You know, it needs... This is the trouble with Hammer, but, like, it needs, like, that kind of Gilliam or Raimi or someone like that to kind of be like, let's mood the shit out of this and, like,
have the
cameras, like, roaming around.
Because I was watching one the other day, and it was pretty good. Actually, I had a lot of flaws, but... And I was thinking, this is really good. It's got a really great mood to it, right? It's got a great mood to it. which is different from a lot of Hammer fans. And I realised it's because, well, actually, I realised because of the book that you got me, The Hammer Vault, that it's because it's one of the very few Hammer films that was shot on a backlot.
Right.
It was shot on MGM backlot. The only reason they shot it there is because the studios they normally use were busy, right?
Right.
So anyway, it looks really professional. One of the problems that Hammer has got with what you're saying about the mood is they shoot so much on location. They shoot outside, they shoot in real houses, which gives it that, like, unique, like, it does make it feel more realistic, thank you very much. But you lose on that.
This was predominantly a lot of a set, though, this one.
Yeah, I think so. But all the stuff when they were... The problem they had, I think, is that, yes, the circus was a set. And I think probably the village was too, at least a little bit. But the forest... Like,
well, the village we've seen before,
them,
the village was in...
Oh, yeah, it was.
Not the evil of Frankenstein. What was the Frankenstein?
The horror of Frankenstein. No, not the horror of Frankenstein.
What's the Frankenstein? No, it was the evil. Where he has to move on from town to town, and they go there, and there's actually a circus or a travelling show or something going on.
Yes, you're right. It is evil of Frankenstein, yes.
With Cushing.
Yeah.
It's the same town.
But it's just, they don't... Whatever the set is, it's not the backdrop. It's not out. It's
outdoors.
It's outdoors.
Right.
Whereas... So they can't control the mood. One of the problems with when they're trying to get out of the village, right, is it's like they're going, you ride and I'll distract you. But it's a wood. Just go over there where the trees are thick and ride that way.
Right.
Don't ride across the only, as far as I can tell, the only bit of open ground around here.
Right.
That's just dumb.
Right.
It's just stuff like that.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's things like...
Because I feel like the isolation of the village is, like, really important to the whole story.
Right.
And that's never really...
I think what I'm saying is, I like the story.
Yes.
I liked what Hammer tried to do with it. I think the circus is very effective. I do think the circus is very
effective. I like the whole, like, fairy tale aspect of it.
I loved
the
way it was set up. I liked the flaming lights that made the ring. I liked the... Weirdly enough... I didn't mind most of the actors like within the circus. I thought they were pretty good, or at least hammy enough to kind of creep you out.
Yeah, agreed. I even liked that they did the whole, like, they had much bigger, sharper
fangs,
teeth.
Like,
and they do the, like, throw your head back and very slowly come in for the bite. You're going, yes, now that's excellent. Proper vampiring.
Proper vampiring.
Do you know what I mean? Don't just go dig it in. Do you know what I mean?
And we
give,
go
it,
to the,
give it a
and
flourish.
We, and we go to the judges now to see what they think about the vampiring. Look, it's...
Top marks for the way he threw his head back. There.
Yeah, 9.8 from the Russian judges.
Got to throw your head back, look down your nose with very wide
8.7 from the
while
Greek judges.
While your hair billows slightly along with your shirt.
Jeff Billows is in the audience here this evening.
And if you can give it a good old hiss just before you move in for the bite.
Textbook.
Very slowly.
Textbook, mate. Wonderful. celebrity come vampiring on ABC this fall. That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yes, turning celebrities into actual vampires and then marking them for how good they're doing.
Yeah.
How good they're being. Well, it's day three of Shia LaBeouf being a vampire, and so far he still looks like a tramp.
Yeah, so far he's still a really bad actor.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, making him one of the undead did not improve his skills in any way at all.
And now he's just not going anywhere.
No. And now we literally have
Even have Shia LaBeouf's inevitable demise to look forward to.
And literally we have to drive a stake through his heart, and I've just heard from his agent he's planning on making that an art installation. He's going to invite people.
And the stake is going to have the word America written.
Yeah.
He'll have America written on it, and then on his forehead he's going to have the word justice written.
Justice, nice. But the good news is he will be killed by Sun Up.
Yeah,
that would be good.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be done with that. But yeah, I agree with you. All the actors in the circus were good. All of the like the doddery old people. That's the other thing. It should have been like an intergenerational thing. Right? What you're saying about the remake is you'd have like a load of like older but charismatic, you know, parents.
Yeah.
Right? And then you'd have like the younger, you know, teenage generation or whatever, like the usual leading people.
And you'd have real threat. Like the trouble is with the older actors, and the trouble is with the way it plays out. The threat is never like truly felt. Like these are these people's children, like being killed.
Yeah.
While at the same time, the village is fending off bat rabies. Like there should be, you know, it should be that like black, grey, grinding thing, and the circus should be this bright, you know.
It's because it's never in doubt. I think the problem is it's never in doubt. that the circus. I mean, it's
if you're
going to
call
the
film
mind,
Vampire Circus, it's never going to be in doubt that the circus is full of vampires. Sorry, right. It just is.
No, no, exactly. So the problem that you have is that if you let that slip, then why aren't the villagers going to burn the circus to the ground? Which they do kind of keep going. They go, we're going to burn it down. They go, oh, we've been distracted by something. You know, that happens.
Well,
like
there's
a few
also
times.
Like a really, like for it's also a proper dark, like along with the kid murder, they also like flat out shoot two animals.
Yeah, they just shoot a monkey
like,
for no reason.
They shoot the monkey.
Yeah.
See, now, I once, when we were at Horror Realm a couple of years ago, me and my friends came up with the plot of Monkey Bellhop Massacre, which is a monkey. It's a monkey bellhop, so it's got the tunic and the little like round hat.
Oh, he's the one doing the massacre.
He's the doing the massacre.
It's not like a massacre of monkey bellhops, which is what I thought it was.
No, no, no.
I was like, where do you go when there's more than one monkey bellhop? It's like, in my head, I was going, is it a convention? Is it like a monkey bellhop convention?
That would be amazing.
Welcome to the Monkey Bellhop Convention of Chicago. Yeah. It's like a cross between Friday the 13th and like a John Hughes movie.
Yeah, it would be in Reno. It would be like the smallest big city.
Reno's Monkey Bellhop Convention.
Yeah.
No, no. Well, that could be the sequel.
That was the sequel. No, no. But it was, he was
Monkey Bellhop Massacre.
The Monkey Bellhop.
The other one.
He was disgruntled because he wasn't given pants. He was given a tunic and a little round hat, but he wasn't given trousers.
Right.
And so he took revenge against his bosses by murdering their hotel guests in the elevator as he was taking them up and down, right?
Okay.
Didn't think it through. That was just, we just thought Monkey
Bellhop. I'm already seeing a few basic problems.
We just thought Monkey Bellhop Massacre was a funny title.
It is an excellent title.
However,
we're good. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
I think we're all right, right?
No, we're good.
Yeah, so we'll take the bill, I guess.
Sure. So the sequel to Vampire Circus could be like Ghost Monkey Revenge or something like that.
The Revenge of the Ghost Monkey.
The Revenge of the Ghost Monkey.
Yeah.
The Revenge of the Circus Ghost Monkey.
So another circus comes into town.
Yeah.
To take revenge on the people that shot them. It just goes on and on.
No, no, but they're ghost monkeys.
Right.
I think what you're missing is they all have to be...
the ghosts of monkeys.
The ghosts of monkeys.
So you'd have to find other monkeys that have been killed.
Would it be called Ghost Monkey Massacre?
It'd be like Ocean's Eleven, where he like goes around
recruiting
other
ghost monkeys.
Other ghost monkeys.
Yeah.
Are you're bored of haunting the elevators?
Yeah, and one of them could be a monkey bellhop. That was killed at the end of Monkey Bellhop Massacre for doing too much masquerading.
It's like you've got yourself a cinematic universe
I
already.
Have, right, of monkeys.
Yeah.
It's all
Monkey Bellhop Massacre, Ghost Monkey Circus.
Ghost Monkey Circus. Yeah. Carny Ghost Monkey.
Carny Ghost Monkey. Yeah.
Carny
Monkey Go Bananas.
What? That's not, you've missed the ghost aspect, which I feel is the most important aspect.
Carny Monkey's Ghost Bananas.
Ghost bananas.
Ghost bananas.
Wait, the bananas are ghosts?
No, I'm saying like go bananas. Ghost bananas.
No, I understand, yeah.
Yeah, but you're right, they're not ghost bananas. Well, what does he eat? What does a ghost monkey eat? Presumably ghost bananas, right?
No, true.
He just has to hope he was like clutching a banana in his hand.
As he died.
As he died.
And then he just...
Because that's how ghosts work.
The same
I assume.
I don't know.
By many years.
But I'm willing to find out, and I want money to make... Carny Ghost Monkey Massacre.
So the only thing I would say, is that I'm a little bit disappointed that all four movies were fun and okay, but they weren't classics.
I don't know. I think the Abominable Snowman.
The Abominable Snowman was really good.
Considered a classic.
The Abominable Snowman was really good, but it's a very early one. But it is. I do really, really like it. Don't get me wrong. But I would say that The Evil of Frankenstein is one of the less good.
I think it's because you always go into these series of films, whether it's Sleazy Spade or Springtime, which you damn near ducked out of this year, or the Hammer series,
thank you,
or the Hammer series, with an expectation of...
No, I just wish we'd seen...
No, I know, but that's what I mean. You have an expectation where I'm just I got to see four Hammer films I hadn't seen before.
No, don't get me wrong,
screen.
I'm very happy. I'm very happy because, okay, so...
And I have
Even
to say, there,
seen...
was enough about, there was enough about Vampire Circus that I was genuinely impressed that it was a Hammer film.
Also, I will say this, right?
In terms of some of the filming, like there was clearly a director that had been given more than the 2 weeks he was probably given to make this, could probably have given it the beans, and chose wisely to give it the beans around the circus area and kind of give it less beans in other areas.
It's probably, there was definitely something where
when they first came to the circus and were like beating the dwarf's head against the thing, she was going, your children just died, you know, in the plague, and you're trying to cover it up or something. And it was like, there's like a reasonable thing going on, because you need like reasonable doubt as the circus, and it's not like it's this encroaching doom.
Well, I think that's
someone they brought upon themselves, and the circus only trying to help them out.
Right.
People that care.
But that's the movie that's missed. Like, that's the thing that's missing.
Yeah.
And by calling it Vampire Circus, you miss a trick, because you're burying, you know, when you're burying the lead, you're putting the lead on Front Street. So what you need to do is call it something else. Ghost Monkey Circus Massacre or something like that, or whatever it is, and
don't
or
shoot a monkey.
Like a village in fear, or
Plague Town
and Monkey Tennis. So that's Alan Partridge, isn't it?
Plague Town Monkey,
you do that song.
Plague Town Monkey,
Plague Town Monkey,
a monkey goes to Plague Town.
Now you're talking.
No, I like that. A monkey goes to Plague Town.
A monkey goes to Plague Town.
Monkey goes to Plague Town. Yeah, that's
Jeff
it.
Monkey.
That has to become a... Well, you were talking about remaking this movie anyway.
Right.
So you can remake, as part of your cinematic monkey universe...
Monkey Goes to Plague Town.
Like Monkey Goes to Plague Town, along with Monkey Bellhop Massacre.
But you're right. And
Ghost Monkey Goes Bananas.
The problem with it being a Hammer film...
Can I just say those are three excellent titles?
Thank you. The problem with it being a Hammer film is they have to reveal the vampires early. And I really feel like there is a way to do this movie where you don't have to.
I agree. You can just have them die. Because that's the other thing. But then you have to have the whole like, creepy eating kids thing. You just have to finding them
also,
with like, neck things.
You can still have the mirror stuff. Because you could have the mirror. You're unsure whether the mirror is showing them their paranoia. Or it's showing them the truth.
You're right, there's a way to do
it. There's a way to do it where you're like...
Well, I would say...
Well, because remember, the first time the guy looks in the mirror, he sees the count, and we know that the count's still dead.
Yeah,
so the mirror is like showing...
You could have the count. You wouldn't need to have the twins. You just have the count every time.
No,
is he alive? And then we could, you know, keep seeing him dead or whatever. Also, they're fucking shapeshifters. So they could literally be anybody.
Right.
Like, what? It's just like, oh, it's just a one-shot deal?
Yeah, he can only
What's my shift in? It's a panther for you, son.
All right.
Not. What about, could I be like a monkey, maybe? Or what about like a slightly more handsome...
Jeff's the monkey, and he gets shot.
Jeff is the monkey,
and Jeff,
you are the panther.
Also, Jeff was clearly turned into a monkey and then could never turn out again.
Either that, or it takes ages to learn how to be a panther. He's like, I don't want to learn how to be a monkey.
Right,
it took ages to be a panther.
But the monkey never changes.
No.
So the indication...
The monkey and the tiger are nobody.
No, the tiger is that dancer woman.
No, because they were killed. The dancer and the bloke aren't... The tiger's still in the cage when they're doing their dancing.
Oh, right.
They're not anybody, they're just dancers.
She was in the nip, though.
Well, they put that in. I don't know why they put that in. I don't know why that scene's in there, those dancers. Because they're like special... Yes, and they like they're like named as like I don't know whatever, like you know Arthur and Susan or whatever. It wasn't Arthur and Susan, but they were like, and now I present to you Arthur and Susan, and they did their like in the net, but painted like a tiger dance. Like, which is like, and we all go, oh, what, this is wildly inappropriate for like she's obviously in the bath, and this is mostly children. Fine, whatever, applaud away. And then like later on, they like found like, much later, like three performances later, they found dead underneath a caravan, having been eaten. But but in the trellis is like special guests Arthur and Susan. Okay? So you just like dragged them in to do the routine.
Yeah, I quite like Arthur and Susan as some sort of like Blackpool double act that they found.
Well, they probably
are slightly over the hill.
They probably are
a slightly over the hill couple who are like, all right, Susan, I'll lift you up above my head one last time. They're putting us on film today. Yeah. You know, as he lifts her up over his head, he lets a sneaky tooter out the back door.
Yeah, probably. I would say...
Shouldn't have had eggs for lunch.
I would
omelette
say...
Omelette was a bad idea. Bad
I would say that I'm glad to have seen all four of them, right?
Yes,
because
me
too. Because Abominus was really good.
Yeah.
Because both Scars of Dracula and Evil of Frankenstein,
yeah,
I didn't like that much the first time I saw them. But I was also a bit grumpy when I watched them.
Yeah.
And they were seen in the context of like, you know, and I wanted to see them like on their own terms.
Yeah.
Not as like, oh, is it better than that Frankenstein or better than this Dracula or whatever. Just like watch them as their own movies. And I did get the chance to do that. And I did enjoy them more.
Right.
They still weren't great, but I still enjoyed them. And I'm really glad I got to see this one because I really...
Is that yours or mine?
I think that's mine. I did really genuinely enjoy...
Is it yours?
Yeah. I enjoyed how, yeah, because actually, because you know when it first started, they came out right at the beginning and they went, listen, we just want to warn you that the print is a little faded, little beaten up, but you know,
it was super faded.
So it looked like, and then it started, they were like, this looks like a silent film from 1915. Like,
right.
It was like brown and incredibly scratchy. And I was like, what the flip is this?
Right.
But actually, as it went on,
it kind of helped.
It added to the weird atmosphere of what you were seeing,
yeah,
and the kind of old timing. So it was, and also,
and to be fair,
I'd like to know how the cattle gets killed, because unfortunately, that frame or frames of the movie was absolutely missing.
Yeah, it had something to do with a crossbow.
I think his head came off.
It had something to do with a crossbow, yeah.
Which is a method of like killing vampires. I guess you can just cut the heads off.
Decapitation.
Yeah, that works. But yeah, we totally missed that. But there were like bits of, like, I'll now, when I see it in, you know, years to come, I probably will watch it. I'll see like a cleaned up version,
right,
and be like, oh, cool, I'm getting to see like actually the cleaned up version now.
Right.
But I really enjoyed watching it on the old crackly 35 minute. It gave it definitely a certain atmosphere that it might otherwise have lacked. So I'm glad we saw all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we were to do it again, because we were also hamstrung by like what movies were playing at 7 o'clock on weekday evenings.
Right.
They put all the good ones on like 8 o'clock on Saturday night. We just don't go to the movies then. Well,
right.
You do, I don't.
Yeah. Well, we don't do the podcast anyway.
No.
It has to be an after work. Yeah, that's the other thing. There's so many stipulations. It has to be an after work. It has to be around 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Usually on a Wednesday or a Thursday, preferably Thursday.
Yeah. But, you know, the old Roxy has fired up some...
yeah, we're hoping to, next week we're going to go and see Paul Newman, Pam Grier flick.
Yeah,
the Roxy,
which will be good.
Be fun.
We'll
just keep moving.
We'll just keep moving.
MoviePass may come and go.
Well, Roxy...
But the diner will continue.
We have unlimited...
A lifetime membership.
Lifetime membership. The Roxy, we get free movies and free popcorn.
I feel kind of bad now, because previously... Well, one MoviePass was going, and I didn't last time because I forgot the card. But while MoviePass was going, I wanted to just keep using MoviePass at the Roxy. So what the fuck do I care? It's not my money.
Right.
I might as well just give the Roxy a bunch of cash. But now I genuinely will be using. So we're just using it for free. Which I kind of feel bad about.
Using what for free?
You know, their cinema.
Well, that's fine. They gave it to us.
No, I know. But, you know, like, yes. Yes, I know. But I was thinking, well, that'll be okay because I'll buy popcorn. I go, no, we get free popcorn as well, don't we?
Yeah.
So I guess we just enjoy it while it lasts, right? Like MoviePass.
I mean, while it lasts. It's a lifetime unlimited.
Yeah, but they might shut the cinema down and stop showing decent movies. Like, it was a while. They weren't really showing it we could watch.
Right, but now they are.
All right. I'm very happy. Look at my face.
Me too. And they're doing, I mean, to be fair to them, they are doing way more at the weekends, which is problematic, but...
But then that's what they've got to do, right? That's when people are going to go and see them.
But I went and saw Nighthawks the other night, and it was bliss, mate. I loved it. Loved it. 35mm print of Nighthawks in a old style.
Yeah, and I love what we've seen. I love the fact that there's. We can go and watch old movies. Like I think I saw the last hour of Vampire Circus on BBC Two, like 20 years ago, maybe more. So I couldn't remember any of it really.
Right.
So to see it on the big screen, freaking brilliant. And
and
old film noirs like the,
I've
never seen before. Walter Hill's debut about bare knuckle boxing starring James Coburn and Charles Bronson. And the first time I ever see that movie, I see it on the big screen.
Yeah, it's kind of brilliant.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, this is what life's all about, mate. And look, if it ends up costing us $16 a week, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
The After Movie Diner with John Cross will return right after this.
Somebody put this Mum for Men in my desk. How should I take it?
Daily. Mum for Men rolls in extra protection that really works.
It works!
And go. Hey, this is Jay Mayo from Hold the Mayo Podcast. Hold the Mayo is a podcast where I talk about music, movies, pop culture, and all of the things that are going on in my daily life. I'm not afraid to talk about the good things, the bad things, and everything in between. I'll call you out for being a dad boner. I'll rant and rave about ice cream teens and why I think they're all a bunch of prostitutes. And if you stick around long enough, I might even tell you about the time that a girl tried to finger bird into my mouth. That's right. You can follow me on social media at HoldTheMailPod, and you can download on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and everywhere else that podcasts can be found. New episodes every Tuesday.
Welcome to Frankie's Nightclub Ruffo, where Friday night and Sunday night are the nights for discos, where you can disco the night away to the best disco sounds around. Saturday night, and Frankie's opens the door to Ireland's best live bands, with great sounds from different bands weekly. So for a great night out, come to Frankie's Nightclub Ruffo, where fun is our speciality.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of the After Movie Diner. Support us at patreon.com/aftermoviediner. Or I'll punch you in the teats. Rate and review us on iTunes, Earthling.
If anybody's out there, just please get on Patreon, buy him a cup of coffee, or share the post so we get a bit more, you know, more people can find it, and they might have more cash than you do, because let's face it, none of us have any cash. But maybe the people who have more cash than you do,
share.
That you turn it that's onto the diner, they'll, like, join Patreon.
Let's stop. I think we should ask for sharing.
Sharing.
And for rating and reviewing.
But I think it's easy. I think they should just buy you a cup of coffee.
And
it's really simple. You go to the website, and there's a button that says, buy me a coffee. You go on, and you just give them $3. That's it. It's a one-time thing.
Yeah.
It's not a monthly thing.
Although,
it's the price of a cup of coffee.
Michael Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Michael Alan Fitzgerald, I think he is. Very good guy. He's always retweeting stuff. Always
good lad,
tweeting
good
stuff.
Lad.
He bought us a couple of coffees and then became a patron.
See, now that's the kind of legendary.
He bought us a couple of coffees and then I think when,
about.
You know what? I'm giving him like some coffee money, but I could just give him $1 a show. And it's basically...
Like, what even is that? It's like nothing.
Yeah.
If you passed us on the street and we were begging for change, but we were also doing a monkey dance or something,
right?
Like doing some silly dance, you might think, oh, they look a bit mean. I'll give them $1.
If we were reenacting Monkey Bellhop Massacre...
If we were reenacting Monkey Bellhop Massacre...
One of us
you'd
would
like
have
maybe
to not
throw
be
a dollar in a hat. No, it would be me, wouldn't it? You'd throw a dollar in the hat. That's all. That's all we're asking for.
Throw a dollar
once
in the old man's
week,
hat.
Throw a dollar in the hat.
Mm.
It's really not that much. It's like
now,
nothing.
If I so quickly,
if
then.
Netflix went up by $1,
all
you'd
right,
still
enough,
pay it.
Enough with your pitching.
What, with my maths?
No, it's actually working because people are supporting us on Patreon, so it's wonderful. So I shouldn't stop you, really.
Yeah, don't stop me.
But I wanted so let's in the last 5 minutes then. Let us.
Yeah.
Because this is always fun.
Okay.
Let us cast.
Okay.
Put our director and score our update of Vampire Circus. Well, we would call it Monkey Comes to Play Town.
All right, well, okay, I guess.
Well, we wouldn't call it that. We'd call it Plague Town or whatever. Or a pall over the city.
Who would I get to do? So who would we get to?
They have to be alive now. We can't. It's can't
no,
be
no,
like
no,
a
I get it,
fest,
I get it. I don't, you know, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, I'd have said Gilliam, but I don't think.
No.
I don't think Gilliam.
No. It's clear that he has just gone right off the rails. Mm. Do you think Raimi could pull it off? Or is he gone with his
I don't think he'd get the mood.
They'd probably give it to someone like a fucking Burton, and that would drive me nuts.
No, not Burton. Yeah, definitely not Burton.
So, oh, what like, new directors of kind of horror and stuff have you seen that you'd be like, oh...
Okay,
right,
good question.
Like, the two new horrors that I really like are You're Next and We Are Still Here, but I'm not sure that either of those guys would be able to
think,
do...
I don't think the You're Next guy would be the right chance.
He's too contemporary.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro? It's another obvious choice.
I hate Del Toro movies. I don't know why. They just rub me up the wrong way. I think they're quite empty. I don't know. There's got to be someone out there.
Who's doing, like, weird gothic little... Well, I keep saying gothic. I don't really mean gothic. What I mean is, like, kind of moody, carny kind of films. Like, dark, grimy, carny films. But not that greeny brown thing that they do with modern horrors. Like proper cinematography with dry eyes.
Yeah, nice looking stuff. I don't know. Are we getting so old that we can't even name What directors are we talking about?
Stop I know who I. I know who ago. I want to do cinematography. I'd have Roger Deakins do cinematography. He's the guy who does the Coen Brothers stuff.
Yeah.
I think he could do it. Didn't Nolan's cinematographer go off and become a director?
No.
Yeah, he did.
Wally Pfister, but he made that bloody awful Johnny Depp becomes a computer.
Oh, yeah.
God, it was terrible.
Yeah, so not him.
So not him. I've seen a lot of good modern horror. I mean, I actually like a lot of modern horror. I like it. Really, genuinely.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have to say, like, Raimi, but only if I could sit him maybe down the guy, and talk
actually,
to
you don't
him.
Want to hear this, but the guy that did the Evil Dead remake.
No.
Because
he does Brownie Green stuff, and I don't want Brownie Green stuff.
Oh, well,
Freddy Alvarez. No, I'm not doing him.
All right, fair enough. Oh,
he does brownie anyway. Green stuff, and I don't want the brownie
not
green.
The one with the,
oh, the horror, the torture horror thing.
No, he did the really good one about the kids breaking into the house of the blind man.
Don't Breathe.
Yeah,
but all good, his stuff is all like brownie green.
Yeah, it was brownie green. I will give you that. It was brownie green. I've seen so many.
And
really
I'm
good
sorry,
horrors.
His breakout movie was Large Robots Attack a City in Brazil. It was just unimaginative whack.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed Don't Breathe, though. I mean, genuinely, I really enjoyed Don't Breathe.
Okay, but it's
fine. It was a good movie.
I'm
agreeing with you
on
the green ground.
Some other little anyway, forget director. We're going to go with Roger Deakins as the cinematographer and assume that...
Who writes it, then?
Who writes it?
Someone's got to adapt it. Why has my brain gone black? I actually had a note in my head.
Oh, you know who could direct it?
Who?
Who could direct it? Fincher.
If he was into it, and you gave him a good enough script...
He probably wouldn't be into it, though.
I don't think he'd be into it. If you gave him, like, a challenge, if you gave him a load of money and he said you've got 2 weeks to do it, he might do it. Like, if it was some kind of cinematic challenge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know who writes it. Who's a good writer these days? I don't even know.
I was just trying to think about that.
Like, who's had a breakout with writing lately?
Quite a few people, actually.
I really only asked this question because I wanted to say that I would have Tom Waits do the music.
Well, Tom Waits should be in it. He should be one of the...
But he should do the music. Oh, you know who I would have directed?
Me.
You probably won't like this, but I really liked Wrist Cutters, A Love Story. I would have that guy. He's like Bulgarian or Latvian or like he's some
Eastern
European director.
Yeah,
I'd have him do it. Whoever did Wrist Cutters, A Love Story.
Oh, what about that guy?
And he put weights in his stuff. And I don't know who I would cast in it. I would probably cast... who would we do in terms of, like, older actors to play, like, the fathers and stuff?
Adrian Edmondson? Because he cropped up in Star Wars.
Yeah.
The Last Jedi. He only had, like, 2 minutes on screen. He was brilliant.
Yeah.
So I'd have Edmondson. Just because it's kind of like... I'd want Rick Mayer. But, like, obviously, kind of Rick Mayer. I think you could have Adrian Edmondson.
Would you have Coltrane as the Burgomaster? If we're going purely British, like mad actors...
Price has got to be in there, isn't he?
I don't know. Price is a bit overused.
He's quite a good wet flannel, though.
True.
One of them's got a bit... One of them's a proper wet flannel.
Right.
So I think Price could do the job there.
Yeah. Okay. So we could have Price, Coltrane, Edmondson. Who's, like, there's got to be, like... Is there anyone who's super old? Who's still out there doing stuff? And I don't mean like Anthony Hopkins, but like someone who's older.
Terrence Stamp?
Oh.
Can't beat a bit of Terrence Stamp.
But I kind of want Terrence Stamp as one of the like gangly vampires. Imagine a circus run by Terrence Stamp and Tom Waits.
I mean, you've got me there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the problem that. All the people that we know and love stopped making good films 10 years ago.
They're all getting old.
And all the people that we think of as being like great, grand old actors of the, you know, film scene are all dead.
Yeah.
That is a bit of a problem for us, isn't it? Casting any movie.
And also that the actors that you might have cast have all now started to do like old man action stuff. Like interesting actors have kind of gone down that route.
Yeah.
Which I'm not against, but at the same time, it means that they're not turning in the older, more grizzled performances.
I tell you who I might like as a director. I've just thought of this. And I think I genuinely think he would do a really good job, because I think if you give him something that he, with a mood that he can get his teeth into, I think he does it really well.
Who's that?
Danny Boyle. He creates a really good mood.
Right,
he knows
but
what
can
he's
you
doing.
Can you name a movie that he's done where he's put the camera on a fucking tripod?
Slumdog Millionaire.
No, it's all handheld, shaky.
Is it?
Yeah, in the bazaars of India, it's all flaming around.
Oh yeah, all right. Yeah.
That's my problem with him, is he's all too cinema verite, and I'm like, fuck off.
No, I know. I don't like wobbly cameras either. I'm not a big wobbly camera fan. Can we have Donald Sutherland as one of the people?
Oh my goodness, yes. Donald Sutherland has to be one of the older
people.
Yeah,
he's still kicking.
We just want to cast it with super old people. I'm trying to think of some young people we'd have in it. Because so far, our movie is not marketable. They're like, sorry, who's in it? We're like, Aid Edmondson. They're like, who? And, oh, it's Donald Sutherland.
We don't know any young people.
No. We've also not gone very diverse. And nowadays they need diversity. Diversity is the buzzword.
Yeah, but it is like Victoria. Like, you can have diversity in the vampire circus, but not in a small village in Bavaria in the 19th century.
No, I know. I understand.
All right. So, who would we get as like fun vampires then in the vampire circus?
I only want like Charles Dance and Terrence Stamp. Yeah. I only want like old, lanky, saggy.
Yeah, but not in a circus. We can be a bit more, less old white guys.
True. Well, like have a strong man and the dancers and some others could.
Yeah,
be.
And the woman running the whole show, and even the cousin could be from fucking wherever.
Right,
you know, Mittelschmidt or whatever. It could be anybody, couldn't it?
Right.
But I'm too old. Everybody I want to cast in is dead or too old.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why they don't let people like me make movies.
Yeah. Me too.
We've absolutely sucked at. Like, normally, it would take us 5 minutes to cast and find a director of people like this. And we've been, like, two old men trying to remember where they left their sandwich. who's that? Oh, I know I saw a film the other day.
Yeah.
With a guy in it, with the hair. And, oh, no, I hated it. No, I hated that.
Yeah.
It's like, what about him? No, I hate him. Well, yeah, I know.
Well,
yeah, you're right.
But who's...
No. I don't know. I haven't got a bleeding clue.
There isn't anyone, is there?
There isn't anyone. Not that I can think of. We're going to remember later. But right now,
well, because I was thinking, I really like your man who's in Creed and Black Panther.
Oh yeah, he is really good.
What's his name?
Michael Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
He could be one of the like either a dancer or a vampire,
the twins,
or
maybe.
A strong man, or
yeah,
he could be in it. I'm trying to think diverse actors.
Women. We haven't cast any women in it yet either.
Right, but even with women, all I can think of is Helen Mirren and Judi Dench. And I'm like, they're old.
I mean, this is not exactly controversial here, but I really like Jennifer Lawrence in pretty much anything.
You didn't like her in Red Sparrow?
Yeah, I liked her in Red Sparrow. I mean, it was a bit of a boring film, but she was good in it.
No.
I like Jennifer Lawrence.
She's all right.
She's very good. I buy her in everything she's in.
Yeah, okay.
Even the rubbish one, she's wandering around in a...
Well, she could be one of the daughters.
Yeah, she could be a daughter.
Because
yeah.
I think we need to move away from the whole...
Definitely.
...like, teenage daughter. They should be, like, 20s daughters.
Yeah, although Jennifer Lawrence is probably, like, 30 by now.
Well, yeah, no, true. But I'm just saying.
No, I get it. As long as James McAvoy's not in it, I'm happy.
I quite liked him in Split, though.
Yeah, he was all right.
But was it you I was talking to? I said it in my email to John, but like his effeminate stuff was like one step away from whoops, ducky. You know, like he was like,
I don't even think it was one step away. I think he'd have done that if it was in the script.
It ain't half hot mum.
Yeah.
But I did like him in that. He was good at
that. No, he was good.
So, young actresses we like.
I don't even know any.
Well, they're all just bland as chips, aren't they? They're all just...
Well, they always were. Really?
No, they weren't. No, they weren't. I mean, like, the way my friend Michael goes on about, like, Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, she was a dynamic younger actress. And even with... they're showing a Winona Ryder series. Now, so
no,
like,
she is a terrible...
Hang on a second.
Terrible actress.
No, no, but she's more dynamic and interesting than any of the bimbets they waft out in a...
I don't, dynamic and interesting is a strong word to describe whatever it is that Winona Ryder does.
No, in those earlier movies.
Yeah, she's quite... She's sort of charismatic, but she can't act totally.
No, I agree with that. And I think that Stranger Things has shown that as her from an older person. I quite like... Michelle Rodriguez and things.
That's true, yeah, she's pretty good.
She's a little older now, but she could be one of the vampires.
I didn't even mind Predators, although it went wildly off the rails in the last half hour.
But I quite like Michelle Rodriguez and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's 30 now.
See, knowing our luck, they'd probably cast Dwayne The Rock Johnson as the strong man. You know what I mean?
I'd be fine with that. That's actually not a bad bit of cast.
Yeah, except that he'd have to stand in the back and not say very much. And he's not really...
I feel like the movie may get rewritten to accommodate.
To accommodate, suddenly the strong man becomes a hero who burns everything down and saves
the... We should make Vin Diesel the vampire so they can just, like, argue all the time. You know what I mean?
You know, I haven't cast Jason Statham.
Statham could be the strong man.
Statham could be the strong man.
Statham could be the strong man.
No, but he
with
has
his bald head and he's like doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Or have Statham play the monkey. It's like glue a load of hair.
Are you telling me you're not excited for The Meg?
I'm very excited for The Meg. I even want to go and see it with you, but you won't wait a week to see it with me.
Yeah.
What if we gamble on MoviePass surviving, but you can't see The Meg in the first week, but they'll let you see it the second week?
Will they let us see it in the second week?
It sounds like you were saying they wouldn't even let us see it at all, right? No. It's over, isn't it?
It is. And their biggest problem is that they weren't transparent.
No, I agree.
They should have just been transparent, and they should have just been like, hey guys, this is what's going on, stick with us, rather than have people show up to the movies and they simply cannot buy a ticket.
Which is exactly what happened to us.
Yeah.
If we'd gone now with, like, I don't know, we were low on funds or whatever, but it's payday tomorrow or what have you, we had just enough for dinner, we'd have been fucked.
Yeah.
This is not really very fair. But I do think it says something about two massive movie fans like us. And I watch a lot of new stuff that asking to cast literally anybody. We stopped even being fussy about it an hour ago. Just trying to name literally any director that we didn't hate. And some young people who are under 30. And we failed to name a director that we don't hate and an actress under 30. Do you realise that that's what's happened to us?
Right, but to be...
Name a director you don't hate.
That I don't hate?
Yes.
I don't hate David Fincher. I didn't like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but I've liked almost everything else he's done.
That's a dreadful book. All right, so David Fincher gets the gig. That's cool. Name an actress under 30.
And I don't dislike Sam Raimi. I just haven't liked the last couple of things he's done.
Yeah, I just think he cashed out so long ago. Even Drag Me to Hell was lazy.
Yeah.
And I think he was lazy about Ash vs. Evil Dead, and he absolutely didn't need to be lazy about that.
No.
He could have easily set out a really simple pattern that anybody could have followed.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't be fucking asked.
Yeah.
So fuck something. Come on, name an actress under 30. Name an actor and an actress under 30.
That I like?
Yeah. That's it. And we watch an astonishing amount of movies, and both of us are having a hard time coming up with those names.
Well, because the movies that we go see tend to be blockbuster movies, and they don't tend to cast the kind of people you're talking about.
How old
is Zoe Saldana, for example?
She hasn't been in Okay, but she was in Guardians of the Galaxy that rescued her career, and that was... Guardians of the Galaxy was, I don't know, 8 years ago?
Wait.
5 years ago.
Like, I guess Chloe Moretz or whatever her name is, she's all right.
Yeah. She's okay. I'm not a huge fan of her.
But what I mean is, name a movie we've seen recently.
Yes.
That has young people in it. I just watched that I know you wouldn't have seen it, but I watched that Love, Simon, the one about the kid who comes out as gay in high school.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you any of their names, or if I liked any of them as actors.
Oh, the one who was in...
The guy in it was all right.
The one who was in The Fault in Our Stars, she was pretty good. What's her name? It's based on a... John Green?
Really?
He wrote Fault in Our Stars.
But what's her name? I don't need to know.
She was in a bunch of stuff, and she was like an up-and-coming... Oh, I've forgotten her name. But she was good in it.
Oh, I tell you who I loved. I really, 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 really liked the younger sister in Black Panther. I can't remember her name, but she was really good in it. The one who's basically the Q.
Oh, yeah,
like,
she was good.
Like the intelligent girl. I don't know who she is, but she's super good. And I tell you who else I like. I don't think she's under 30, but I really like Agent Carter, Hayley Atwell.
I liked her, but Agent Carter was like a really terrible TV show. She wasn't really good at it.
But I like Hayley Atwell as an actor.
She's all right.
I can't remember her name now.
Oh, Shailene Woodley. That was her name. From Fault in Our Stars, Shailene Woodley.
She's all right.
Yeah. Neither of the ones who
been in a lot of movies since. She's only been in a handful, but she was in Red State and Argo. Kerry Bechet. I really liked her. I don't know how old she is.
Because she's in... Hawk and Catch Fire.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, she is really good. Okay. Alright, there is some hope for us. There is some hope.
But even Kerry Bechet, I think, is probably too old to play a daughter at this point.
Yeah. Shailene Woodley might be okay.
But I wish I knew the actress's name who plays the daughter in Black Panther, because she's the sister in Black Panther. She's amazing. I think she's one I'm going to like in other movies. In fact, I have to say, I think that and it's good because the movie has to succeed on the basis of the women in it. The women in Black Panther are almost resoundingly great. All the female actors in Black Panther are great.
What about Neil Marshall for a director?
Yes.
He hasn't done anything good in a while, but even the stuff that he does that doesn't work is still at least interesting.
Yes. Yeah, I'd go with Neil Marshall. That's a great call.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd go with Neil Marshall.
Okay. So we've got Neil Marshall, we've got...
Do you know who else I would go for, who I'm slowly getting a soft spot for?
What?
Because I didn't like his early stuff, but I'm super liking like his later stuff. Guy Ritchie.
Yeah. Yes. When did that happen?
The Sherlock Holmes and the King Arthur stuff.
Yeah. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was really fun as well.
Yeah, it's just his like...
It's just absolute nonsense.
Bananas.
It's just copper bottom bullshit.
Right.
That I can't help but kind of like.
Right.
Actually, yeah, Guy Ritchie's not a bad shout for
Guy
this.
Guy Ritchie.
I'm going to give you Guy Ritchie.
Who directed Paddington? Because whoever did that was bloody brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure you're getting away from the... You know.
No, but there's atmospheric and it's inventive and it's creative and there's like
that's true, but then that's true. If you wanted to lean more in towards like the fairy tale aspect of it and less into the like the blood and gore.
But we wanted to make blood and gore. We're right with Guy Ritchie.
I think Guy Ritchie.
Guy
for sure.
Ritchie does monkey vampire circus. That would be amazing.
That means Jude Law has to be the cow. Obviously right. Never gonna get Ritchie on board. Plus he's out for most of the movie.
Right. Plus Jude Law would be an excellent
cow. He would actually be pretty good. Okay, because Jude Law is the character, Guy Ritchie.
Oh my! No! Now I'm excited. Why am I excited for a Guy Ritchie movie? But I am.
Me too. I really like Man from U.N.C.L.E. I really liked the. Actually, I preferred the sequel to. I like
Game of Shadows
because it was like, oh no, this is actually a Sherlock Holmes movie. He's investigating shit.
Right.
It's like, oh, is it ghosts? It's never ghosts.
Right.
Shailene Woodley.
Think of the sequence in Game of Shadows with the gypsies.
I think he'd do it great. I think he'd do it great.
I'm on the money there with Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Guy Ritchie's Monkey Comes to Playtown. That's what... I want to see that tomorrow.
Yes. No, I'm with you.
Jason Statham is the strong man, because he's got the Statham.
Right. Jude Law is the count.
Jude Law is the count. You litter it with Terrence Stamps. Tom Waits to do the music and have a cameo as an old beggar. An old blind beggar.
Yeah.
Who like foretells the whole thing.
Yeah, Charles Dance.
Like, don't trust the circus.
Charles Dance, Terrence Stamp.
Yeah.
Michael Caine. We gotta get Caine in there, surely.
No.
As the Doctor?
No. Fuck Caine in this.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't want Caine caning up the joint. He would cane up the joint and it would be too much. It would be too much.
Yeah, fair enough.
Stamp. And dance. I'm all over that.
Yeah.
Caine,
get out.
Sling your hook, Caine.
And Woodley is the Daughter. Who's replacing the worst actor on planet Earth who did Vampire Circus? The kid. The younger kid. What young male actors do we not absolutely hate?
Well, like I said, I liked Michael B. Jordan. Because it wouldn't... Well,
he's a bit old too. I mean, I think he's...
It would have to be... You know, your problem is you would have to set it in, like, Victorian Europe. Because you could just about get away with a circus coming to a modern town, but you couldn't get away with them all being plague ravaged and or have bat rabies.
Could you have the town isolated for some other week?
Because I want it to be set in Victorian Europe.
Richie's not going to be able to do anything with a modern setting.
No, Richie has to have lots of like smoke and dragons and bullshit.
No, wait, not Jude Law as the Count, Hugh Grant as the Count.
No, because Hugh Grant's not good at... Oh, wait, Hugh Grant? Oh, I thought it was Hugh Laurie. Hugh Grant is the Count. No, he's too hammy. No. Jude Law as the Count is perfect.
Okay,
Law is perfect as the Count. Because he gets a scene at the beginning, he gets a scene at the end.
And you nothing can in the middle.
Throw in a few flashbacks or something to give him something to do.
To keep his agent happy.
Yeah. Because it's a 2 or 3 day cameo. He's not there to be the... He's not there to be the central draw. But you're right, we need a young boy.
Well, just like...
Young man. The trouble is they fucking cast Hiddle Swift or someone.
He's too old now. Not Cumber Snatch or...
Cumber.
Whiffle Bats. I don't know. I think my brain's too far gone. Who's the young...
Well, because, all the young actors I know right now... is either from something like Love, Simon, or that one... What was the one where the girl's dying and he was friends with her? The one I watched on the plane and you were like, Jesus, you didn't watch that, did you? My Best Friend's Dying of Cancer? Something like that.
Well, that's The Fault in Our Stars. That's the one I was talking about with Shailene Woodley. So they both died of cancer.
Oh, no. Was that... No. Oh, well, maybe it was that then.
And they go and visit...
It's got such an innocuous title, maybe that is.
Who do they go and visit? Oh, Bill Nye needs to be.
No, Bill Nye has already been in the awful fucking vampire werewolf series.
Yeah, but he was like a
werewolf. Yeah, fuck that. I'm not going for that. We're not having Sheen, we're not having fucking Nye, we're not having any of that. We're having Stamp and Dance.
Could we have Helen Mirren as the Countess?
The answer is yes. If you say, can we have a... Yes. Even if she turns up 3 minutes and eats a teacup or something.
Yeah.
Why would she eat a teacup? She's the strong man's mother who likes...
Leave him alone!
...sings him asleep at night. I don't know. Who do we cast as the young male lead? There just isn't any. They're all awful.
I know.
The first thing is I would make all the older people really old, and then I would make all the children in their 40s.
And then they're us.
Yeah. All right, there we go. We've done it.
There we go.
All right, let's go pay the check.
Cool. Thanks,
fun.
Man.
All the best.
That was fun. Hammer time. You can't touch this. Touch this. Can't touch this. My music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. What am I to run and to hype me? It feels good when you know you're down. A super dope homeboy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such, and this is a beat you can't touch. I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man. You can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics.
breaks. Fresh new kicks and bands. You got it like that. Now you know you want to dance. So move out of your seat and get a fight going and catch this beat while it's rolling. Hold on. Pump a little bit and let the noise go on. Like that. Like that. Pull a little bit. Just don't fall on back. Let them know that you're too much. And this is a beat they can't touch. Yo, I told you. You can't touch this. Why you standing there, man? You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song, a rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now. They know. You're talking about the hammer. You're talking about a show that's hot and tight. Singles are sweating, so pass them a whiteboard tape. To learn what it's gonna take in the 90s to burn the charts. Legit. Either work hard or you might as well quit. That word, because you know. You can't touch this. Can't touch this. Break it down. Stop. Hammer time. Go with the flow. It is said if you can't prove this, then you probably are dead. So wave your hands in the air. Bust a few moves. Run your fingers through your hair. This is it. For a winner. Dance to this. Touch this. Look, man, you can't touch this. You better get a hype, boy, cause you know you can't touch this. Ring the bell, school's back in. Break it down. Stop. Have a time.